WAUK.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined by Anya Esther. Barracudas, that's the topic for today. What an appropriate tune to lead it with. Thanks, Anya.
You're very welcome.
And what a barracuda dump of snow we had yesterday. Holy cow. I was sitting in the courthouse, pounding away at work. Round about 4 o'clock and looked outside and it looked like a blizzard.
You're like, it was already cold in this courthouse, these cold marble floors. What's that extra shiver? That's right. It's winter just in time for Halloween because it's Wisconsin. Indeed.
Of course, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. That was quite a bit of an event, and kids were out trick-or-treating in some towns. I was... sure, honey, put on your Barbie outfit. Let's go outside with your big winter coat and hat and cover up your costume. I remember many, many Halloweens having my costume ruined by my mother's sense of prudence over the weather. I bet a bunch of little kids' hearts were breaking yesterday. 844-967-2789. Yeah, we're going to talk about barracudas today. They're showing up a lot in the news. One barracuda who just passed away is famed Basketball Hall of Fame coach Bobby Knight. News just broke on my way into the studio this afternoon. Bobby Knight, one of the winningest basketball coaches in college men's basketball history, inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame in 1991. The man won NCAA championships in 1976, 81, and 87 for Indiana University. The season in 1976 was an undefeated men's basketball season, which is nearly an impossible feat to pull off. I could go on. He ran relatively off-the-court, scandal-free programs when it came to his players. 95% of his players who spent at least 4 years of eligibility at the colleges that he coached at the universities he coached at, actually graduated with a degree. That is a laudable statistic. His winning history, a laudable statistic. And yet, the reason I call the man a barracuda is that he's one of the most reprehensible human beings I've ever seen coach or get interviewed, constitutionally incapable of taming his temper, flagrantly angry, personally so, put hands on players, was suspended from the Big Ten for 2 years following an infamous incident in 1985 where he threw a chair across a court during an act, like during a game. His first coaching, recorded coaching event was a JV high school game in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, and he broke the clipboard. I'm kind of wondering, hey, all you civic media listeners statewide, What do you think about Bobby Knight? If you've played sports or worked for bosses like this, what do you think? I think the way that leaders act in whatever the workplace is for Coach Knight in practices and during games, that matters. It also matters how you act when you're not doing the thing. If that's visible and knowable by the folks that you lead. And Bobby Knight was a jerk of the highest proportions. He resisted and spoke out openly about social change and opposed it. Infamously, in 1988, in an NBC interview with Connie Chung, Bobby Knight said this: "If rape is inevitable, relax and enjoy it." And yet 3 years later, a man who said that was inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame. I don't know how that's acceptable. I mean, what? 844-967-2789. Many of the regular listeners will know I was a college athlete. Maybe not a very good one, but I tried real hard. I played rugby in college. I played three sports in high school. Tony weighing in on Facebook. As a kid, I thought Coach Knight was a great throwback coach. As I got older, I thought he was just a big a-hole. Yeah. You know, when you work for someone, if you are a player for a coach, especially if your being in college requires that coach to keep you on the team, there is a power asymmetry that makes you susceptible to all kinds of abuse. And Bobby Knight abused his players physically, emotionally, and by extension, financially. Many of these kids couldn't have afforded university on their own. I mean, the passing of this guy, we can celebrate his wins, but are wins all that matter? No. 844-967-2789. I just, in the context of all of these things that are going on in our world and trying to gain some perspective about what leadership actually looks like, it seemed appropriate to me to talk a bit about Coach Knight and make these observations. I think his legacy is one of shame. I don't care how many W's you put up on the board. If you treat people like crap, it shouldn't count. And I have to further say, part of Coach Knight's legacy approach, how he defined himself, was, I am the only one that you listen to. I am the one that gives you orders and you follow them without question. You are loyal to me and me only. And I am the only one that can lead you to success. Does this sound familiar to anyone? This sort of savior mentality, if you will, this belief in one's own infallibility as a coach, as a political leader, as a radio host, as any kind of boss, is to me the first hallmark of failing leadership. And yesterday, as we broke down why the United States is not a Christian nation, it was not founded as a Christian nation. Its founding documents do not establish a religion. In fact, that is contrary to the very principles of the nation's founding. I promised to work with Anya to bring you the sound that Trump, of Trump talking about himself in terms of being a savior. And sad to say, I think Trump in many ways acts not just in a way that strokes his own ego and feeds his own psyche, but it's as if he's play acting what he thinks political leadership should look like. You hear me out there? Like, does that make sense to you? He's engaging in these, very almost comically stereotypical behaviors of like the man in charge, right? This is why, oh, Putin's great. Kim Jong-un, great, because everybody worships these guys. No, they don't worship them. They're oppressed and fearful. Bobby Knight's players, maybe some of them liked them, but they were oppressed and fearful. Leading by fear and intimidation is the hallmark of failed thought leadership, failed spiritual leadership. And yet in this country, we seem to repeat, frankly, gendered patterns of leadership. And it all points me to a place of deep concern, because you see that intimidation, that leveraging of power, also in elected representatives in the House. You see it whenever somebody appears to have any kind of political leverage. It's, well, let's not use that to accomplish some sort of policy good. It's, let's use that leverage to exact revenge, to make people pay a price for not agreeing with me. That's what we see in what I'm going to call religious autocracy, Christian nationalism. It's, if you don't believe as me, you're not a true American. You don't deserve equal rights. My religious freedoms trump any claim to rights and freedoms that you have. I bet you didn't think you were going to hear a through line between Bobby Knight, Coach Knight, Donald Trump, Speaker Mike Johnson, and the current state of the GOP in the first 10 minutes of a radio show here on the Civic Media Network. But as ever and always here on the Maggie Dawn Show, we will show you those through lines. And I think there is some observational truth to this. It's this hyper-masculine assertion of dominance and control. And that gets hailed by the Basketball Hall of Fame in 1991, by the voters in this country in 1996, by the House GOP caucus on October 3rd of this year is dangerous. And we need to think about what leadership should look like and behave like and demand better of our coaches, of our bosses, of our colleagues and coworkers, and most certainly our elected representatives. Join our conversation. We're going to listen to some Trump sound declaring him the savior of the American people in downright biblical terms. When we come back here on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'm joined by Anya Esther. You can join us as well. 844-967-2789. Keep it locked. You're not going to want to miss this sound when we come back from break. Back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. She's Anya Esther. We are the Civic Media Radio Network coming to you across the state. Join our conversation this afternoon, 844-967-2789. Coming up in the second half of the show, I'm going to explain why what the House has proposed through its new speaker in terms of aid package for Israel, not only why that's obnoxious, but why it actually tells you exactly who the House GOP and the GOP writ large are today. And that is unmoored from any actual policy positions. Basically anything that's been traditionally conservative for the last 20 years. Yeah, what Speaker Johnson is introducing and has introduced shows you that that's all smoke and mirrors. But I have promised you some Trump sound, talking about himself in downright Christ-like terms, as if he is the chosen one, much in the vein of how Bobby Knight thought he was the only possible coach that could ever lead his young men to victory, except with stakes far, far higher for our democracy. Let's listen to Donald Trump in his own words. See if this raises any alarm bells for anybody.
Trump's trade war. This isn't my trade war. This is a trade war that should have taken place a long time ago by a lot of other presidents. Over the last 5 or 6 years, China's made $500 billion. $500 billion. Ripped it out of the United States. And not only that, if you take a look, intellectual property theft. Add that to it. And add a lot of other things to it. So somebody, excuse me, somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it. So I'm taking on China. I'm taking on China on trade. And you know what? We're winning because we're the piggy bank. We're the one that all these.
I am the chosen one. I am the chosen one. Only I can possibly take on China. And he said stuff like this repeatedly, most recently starting when the indictments dropped. Basically, they're coming for you, and I'm the only one that stands in the way. It doesn't matter the topic. We can pick the throwback from the China discussion from his presidency. But he continues to cast himself in biblical terms. And while we are not a visual medium here on the radio, if you haven't seen this, I highly recommend you go look it up. Trump tweeted out an artist rendering of him in court with Jesus Christ sitting next to him. Yeah. And as we explained yesterday, you know, not only are those analogies deep, should they be offensive to Christians, but what's more troubling is that insinuation that unless you believe as I do, unless you support Donald Trump, the man, not a set of principles or values, the man himself, you're not a true American. You're evil and you get to be basically booted out and oppressed according to whatever Donald Trump says. Any leader that assumes that kind of a stance and thinks that of themselves, even quietly without saying it out loud, is not worthy of our respect or trust or our vote. Donald Trump says it out loud often. That's really troubling. And we know that this isn't about policy, because you have to look, and you only need look, at what Republicans introduce as legislation. I mean, Anya, if I were to ask you or anybody listening to us, like, all right, if just, you know, if you write down on a napkin, like, what are the three things that don't involve telling women what to do with their bodies, book banning, or oppressing the LGBTQIA plus community? Other than those things, what do you think are like the top one or two traditional policy platforms for Republicans?
Oh, man, probably something about freedom, maybe something, whatever that means for them. I don't know what else.
Basically like deficit hawks.
Yeah.
Very aggressive, right? Very aggressive national security, too much regulation, too much, you know, freedom is sort of like, don't tell me what to do. And that whole gamut, right, of very hawkish on national security, and there's too much government and our deficit is far too high. Okay, well, then you would expect legislation that's introduced to keep the deficit low, right, or at least lower the deficit, and take a pretty hawkish or aggressive stance vis-a-vis our foreign policy and defense of country and kin. Well, yeah. Not so much from Speaker Johnson. The emperor indeed has no clothes, because the GOP House introduced a funding package for aid to Israel that purports to give, I believe it's $14.3 billion in aid for Israel. But contrary to past practice for the last 15 years or so, it might even be longer than that, whereby if it's emergency aid to an ally, they don't require effectively a budgetary offset. So they don't require, if you're going to give $14.3 billion to Israel, conservatives have never required those aid packages to go find to pay for that $14.3 billion from some other governmental funding cut. Okay, you get what I'm, the gist of what I'm laying down there. Oh, but this GOP will. $14.3 billion in aid for Israel has to come out of a previously agreed upon Inflation Reduction Act, already adopted act of Congress that included funding for the IRS. So we're going to help Israel, but we're going to do that by defunding the IRS to the tune of $14.3 billion, which the Congressional Budget Office, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, came out with today and said would end up adding $26.8 billion to the national deficit. Say what? I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. I'm going to talk about the fact that they peeled off aid for Ukraine, some of the crazy stuff that's being said about aid for Ukraine, and what all this means in a bigger context. And then I'm going to tell you what I think the root cause of these problems are, aside from just the lying about, you know, the U.S. being a nation founded in Christianity. When we come back here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Network, you're not going to want to miss this, because I'm going to tell you what the problem is. 844-967-2789. We're going to go to the phones as well in the next little bit. Time here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Not to worry, plenty of time for your calls as well. 844-967-2789. Anya and I want to hear from you. You know, the savior complex, it's a problem. It's become quite the toxic mix of religious intolerance coupled with absolute craven political power, moored to very little, if not anything anymore, from the GOP. We're hearing from Ross from Crawford County, listening on WMDX. God told me Trump is Satan's messenger. Well, you know, at least you got the bat phone to God, Russ. Thanks for chiming in. Jim from Appleton, WGBW, thanks for listening. Yeah, Jim's pointing out the GOP, if they're deficit hawks, why do they keep raising it? Again, Nikki Haley during debate number one, thank you, Donald Trump. It's an $8 trillion deficit raise under Donald Trump when he controlled both the House and the Senate. What did they do there? What caused that enormous deficit hike? It was a tax giveaway to the richest 5% of Americans and corporations. What is the whole catch with Speaker Johnson's Israeli aid package? It's, oh yeah, defund the IRS to pay for the Israeli aid. One, GOP has never done that. Two, you've been out of work for a month. The first number one big thing priority that you want to do is strip away funding from the IRS, which will increase the deficit by $30 billion. And because you've separated out aid for Ukraine, in other words, it's not part of the House proposed aid package, that seems to be a non-starter since we're, you know, coming up on the old government shutdown on November 17th. There's just not enough time to get these things done. 2024 is an election year. It's not palpable to pass multi-billion dollar aid packages. That's why the White House put it all together. Oh, yeah, and Senate Republicans agree that Ukraine aid, some funding that's supposed to go to shore up and hold back Chinese aggression in Taiwan, and supposed to give this $14.3 billion to Israel. Yeah, that was all in one package. So don't tell me it's about national defense. Don't tell me it's about the deficit. When you're first, you've been out of work for 30 days because you can't get together. You pick Johnson by default because he's MAGA Mike. You don't vet the guy properly enough. He basically said to women and people of color, the LGBTQ community, you don't count because we want 18th century values. Come on, man, as my good friend Earl Ingram, who's got a morning show on this wonderful media network, would say. It's really problematic. Anya went, we've got some more sound for you about, again, Trump being the only thing that stands between good God-fearing folks and the great abyss. Let's listen to this. Again, Trump, more savior complex from our former president.
Prevent and very easily World War III, very easily. In 2016, I declared, I am your voice. Today, I add, I am your warrior. I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution. I am your retribution. Not going to let this happen. Not going to let it happen. Disastrous war between Russia and Ukraine settled. It will be settled quickly. Quickly. I will get the problem solved, and I will get it solved in rapid order, and it will take me no longer than one day. I know exactly what to say to each of them. I got along with very well with them. This is the most dangerous time in the history of our country, and Joe Biden is leading us into oblivion. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers.
Huh? Your guess is as good as mine. Warmongers, you mean Putin and Kim Jong-un? I mean, come on. And my apologies to Ross from Crawford County and Jim from Appleton that weighed in yesterday on the talk about the fact that the U.S. was not founded as a Christian nation. On the text line, you can always text us. We'll try to grab them and talk about them. You can join us on the phones, 844-967-2789. Earl Ingram, come on, man. Yeah, Gary from Sussex here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Say hi to Anya. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Hey, how you doing? I don't know if you've ever heard me on the radio. I talked to Mike and Dom, and I'm a conservative, but I'm one of those conservatives that don't yell and scream, like CJ. You ever listen to CJ?
Yes.
Well, we don't listen to him, but we've heard him, right?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. We know the deal. Gary, what would you like to say this afternoon?
Well, the thing is this. I listened to what you said before. You said that Donald Trump, I guess when he was in court, I could be mistaken here. I'm in my truck. And he drew a picture of him in court with Jesus. And, you know, to me, I wear a cross around my neck. So to me, you know, if I was in court too, I'm not saying I am Jesus, but I would say I'm a Christian and I support Jesus and love the Lord, you know?
Yeah, but that wasn't, and, I mean, I'll do, Gary, let me just hop in here for a second. What he tweeted out was a picture of an artist rendering of Jesus sitting next to him at the defense table in one of his court cases. I can't remember because there's so many of them, which one it was. But the implication is that Jesus and God is on my side and that I'm being persecuted like Jesus was. If you're a Christian, you know that calling yourself God is blasphemous, isn't it?
Absolutely, 100%. Okay.
Okay, so you find that just as troubling as I do, that Trump is using language and drawing parallels, painting himself as if he is a savior, as if he is godlike. That's not good. You agree, right?
No, I'm not agreeing with that, Maggie. I don't believe that he at any point said that he is God or anything. I believe that he...
What does it mean when someone says they're the chosen one, Gary? What does it mean when you say, I am the chosen one, and then send out an artist rendering of Christ sitting by your side while you are being criminally tried?
Maggie, I believe that he thinks, and everything I tell you is my opinion. I'm not saying anything that I say is fact. I'm saying how I look at it as a conservative Christian and as a Republican, okay? I look at Donald Trump thinking that he wants to, you know, like to make America great again, okay? So the fact
but
is,
I'm asking you some. Hey Gary, I want you to answer these questions because the language and the imagery really matters. It matters because he's saying God is on my side, and if you don't agree with me, the implication is that you're, frankly, against God. Isn't that a problem?
I don't think that he means it as that he is a spiritual person. I think that he thinks that God appointed him to be president. And I believe in my heart and in the way things were running when he was president, that he did a very good job up until the pandemic.
Okay, so let's just pause for a second. And I appreciate you hanging with me, Gary, through this conversation. I think it's really important. So that he was chosen by God to do this work. That's what you're saying he believes.
Yes.
Isn't that a problematic way of thinking? Especially when Trump, and we'll go try to find the sound at this next break. Trump was on a stage and he was asked very specifically, what have you prayed to God or Jesus for forgiveness for? And he said, I've never done that. So if you believe that you have been chosen by God and that you have nothing to ever repent for, is that not a bit of a scary mix to have as the leader of the United States? Forget his politics.
First, Maggie, I have never heard him say that, and that's not good because I'm going to heaven not because I'm a good guy. I'm a sinner just like you and anybody else. I'm going because Jesus died on the cross for me. Now, I'm a contractor. I'm a Christian contractor. I own a heating air conditioning business. And I ask God to put people in my path every day. So I get a chance, not every single day do I get a chance to pray with people, but I get to talk to them about life and give them hope. I don't sit there and preach to anybody. I don't even have time to do that because I'm flying from one job to the next. But people can tell that I'm just different than other heating contractors they dealt with. And I believe that God has put me in this path of my business, which I'm doing well financially. I'm not a millionaire, but I'm doing fine that I can support my family. And I believe that God continues doing that because he knows that I pass out, you know, I'm living a Christian life and I get a chance to talk to people.
Let me just ask you this, and then I'm going to have to move on, Gary. We're going to go find that sound during break. I hope you can stay locked. And I hope everybody that's listening can stay locked here on the Maggie Dawn Show, because you need to hear it right from his mouth. He said, when asked, I've never done that. I've never asked for forgiveness. Now, the way that faith works for you, Gary, I applaud that. I'm happy that you're successful. But do you not agree that we live in a secular democracy where our leaders should not be anointing themselves as God or God-like, especially if they don't approach things just as you did, Gary, from a place of deep humility, that we can all make mistakes and we need to learn from those things. Thanks for the call, Gary. That's what scares me. That they're not what Gary had to say. I applaud Gary. Go ahead, live your life, brother. Be a faithful man. Bring that into your work. I hope that leads you to an open heart, an open mind, and treating people with fairness and love. That's a wonderful thing. But when we have leaders that say, my way is the only way, leaders that find themselves impervious to criticism or find themselves and believe themselves to be above our legal process because they are godlike, that's when I start to get those cold sweats. We got just a little bit of time left. Mark from the SAC, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Yeah, it's just remarkable. I mean, God bless Gary, but what gets me is the absolute the hypocrisy of Donald Trump and the hypocrisy, as I see it, of our new Speaker of the House, because that I just happened to pull up the whole Dante's Inferno, and the hypocrite's outward appearance shines brightly and passes for holiness, but that there's a falsity of deceit that weighs them down and makes spiritual progress impossible for them, because he talks about, I believe, in 18th century values. Well, I think the 18th century values at the end of the 18th century was a hell of a lot more progressive than Mike Johnson is today. I mean,
you heard it from Mark from the SAC. The 18th century at the end of the 18th century was more progressive than Mike Johnson wants to be today. I wholeheartedly agree. You are not going to want to miss this last segment on the Maggie Dawn Show, because you're going to hear Donald Trump out of his own mouth when asked at a convention on a stage, have you asked God for forgiveness? The man says no. Out of his own mouth. You're not going to want to miss it. Keep it locked, everybody. Last segment coming right up here on the Maggie Dawn Show. You want to get in on this. 844-967-2789 here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. I'd love to listen to most of this tune, but we got to give you the Trump sound. This is him in 2016 at a Christian event called the Family Leadership Summit. Let's listen to whether or not Donald Trump thinks he's ever sinned and whether or not he repents for those sins.
Results. We don't want power. So we've got people lined up for questions. I just got one more, because you used the word Christian. Have you ever asked God for forgiveness?
That's a tough question. I don't think in terms of, I'm a religious person. Shockingly, because people are so shocked when they find this out, I'm Protestant, I'm Presbyterian. And I go to church and I love God and I love my church. And Norman Vincent Peale, the great Norman Vincent Peale, was my pastor. The Power of Positive Thinking. Everybody's heard of Norman Vincent Peale. He was so great. He would give a sermon.
Answer the question.
He never wanted to leave. Sometimes we have sermons and every once in a while we think about leaving a little early, right? Even though we're Christian. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, Frank, would give a sermon. I'm telling you, I still remember his sermons. It was unbelievable. And what he would do is he'd bring real life situations, modern day situations, into the sermon. And you
Objection,
could listen to him all day long.
Please
when you left
the witness
the church, you were disappointed that it was over. He was the greatest guy. And then, he passed away, but he was a great, he wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, which is a great book.
But have you ever asked God for forgiveness?
Let's go, interviewer. Let's go.
I'm not sure I have. I just go and try and do a better job from there. I don't think so. I think if I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into that picture. I don't.
Wow. I don't think so. Have you ever asked God for forgiveness? You edit out all the other fluff. I don't think so. You don't think so?
It's a hard thing to not know. It's kind of mostly you thinking, you know?
Let me just say this. It is the only thing that distinguishes Christianity from every other faith. Is that Jesus died on a cross for your sins, and so you ask for forgiveness. That's what distinguishes Christianity. So if you don't think so, all do, you ain't a Christian. Because that is a necessary component of Christianity. This is all performance, people. This is not a genuine belief. He's not praying to God for guidance. He thinks he is God. And if you believe in Christianity, that's blasphemy. So, what's at stake here? And it's all the marbles, right? Israel and Hamas, Ukraine, Taiwan and China, Iran, North Korea. And what the Speaker of the House, after the House being completely in dysfunction and chaos for nearly an entire month, with all of that going on, their big issue number one is, yeah, we'll give some aid to Israel, but not Ukraine. Let's not do that. But that aid for Israel, yeah, we're going to carve that out of the IRS appropriations. And what that does is it lets tax cheats and rich people keep more of their money. Every dollar you spend in the IRS, you basically get back. It's something like 4 to 5 fold. So the ROI, the return on a taxpayer dollar investment in the IRS, if you were actually a deficit hawk, you'd want to spend more money there. But it's never really been about that. It's not been about Christianity either, despite whatever Donald Trump, Gary from Sussex, love you, man, but whatever Gary from Sussex and whatever Speaker Johnson says, it's never been about that. It's about rich people keeping more of their money, corporations too. It ain't about the middle class. This is a precarious time. And we're not going to be able to get there, but tomorrow you're not going to want to miss it because I'm going to tell you what I think part of the solution is to this crisis of leadership. Within the GOP, if you're a conservative, Gary, my man from Sussex, CJ, if you happen to be listening, anybody, if you're a conservative, I've got some solutioning for you. I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss that. Because I do think there's a way to help us reconnect with one another based on our values. And our values right now as the United States need to be to support Israel, at the same time, be able to exert pressure on Israel to not attack or exert collective punishment on civilians and children in Gaza to ensure humanitarian aid. That is a difficult needle to thread. We've got to be able to do both. That requires some humility. Donald Trump doesn't have it. DeSantis doesn't have it. And Lord knows, Mike Johnson doesn't have it. Before we run out of time here, I just want to grab this Vivek Ramaswamy sound about Ukraine, because that needs to be a number one on our agenda. Let's listen to Vivek on Ukraine. This is part of the problem, everybody.
And how they control the parties in your fight against them. Please continue.
Yeah, so on Russia-Ukraine, it's pretty simple. Do a simple peace deal that's reasonable, okay, that says the Russian-speaking regions that are already occupied, we're not going to fight a war with a major nuclear power in the form of Russia over that region. They get that deal. They also get a hard commitment that NATO doesn't admit Ukraine to NATO. NATO's been a disaster. We should have said that up front. We probably could have avoided this war, but say it now. But in return, we require that Putin exit his military alliance with China. The Russia-China military alliance, that's what worries me. And we are pushing Russia further into China's arms.
Action.
And as Nikki Haley said, every time Vivek Ramaswamy talks, I feel like I've lost IQ points. It's true. We could have avoided the war by not talking about Ukraine joining NATO. No, we couldn't have, Vivek. This has been Putin's plan since he annexed Crimea. Oh, we let Putin just keep the land? that he's occupied, you know, forget about anything about sovereign borders. What a shamefully undereducated and now just a simple peace deal.
And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what.
Yep, we all do, Vivek. I've had it, but I do have solutions. You're going to want to lock it in tomorrow for some of those. I'm going to also talk about the Fifth Circuit's Court of Appeals, which is just off its rocker, amounting to nearly 75% of the cases making it now to the Supreme Court. Why? Because they've traded in the rule of law for religion. You're not going to want to miss it, everybody. My thanks to you, Anya. My thanks to all your listeners out there. It's always good to be in community with you here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Winter nights, we sang in
tune. Engaged and entertained. This is the show.
Great stuff, Maggie.
AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
That was a good one.
This is your hometown radio.